So good morning. We'll get started. Today we're going to talk about grievances, and the word itself is an unusual word, even in respect to the course. I mean, we don't use that word much in today's society. The place it's used the most is in the workplace. Like there's the whole HR departments for employees' grievances. And it basically means I've been treated unfairly and I can go and make my case and I can prove to you that I've been treated unfairly and you need to rectify the situation. And that's basically, I mean, it's in the course, it's a bit more deep rooted than that. It's not just a business thing, but you know, a grievance, I think a grievance is kind of like when you combine a simple judgment with a condemnation, and it seems like it runs long term. There's a sense of long running resentment to it, for me anyway. And Jesus only uses this word grievance in these lessons that we'll, some of them will go over between lesson 68 and lesson 90. And I think it's something astronomical, like he uses the word 93 times. I'm not sure about that. but that's what I had written in my notes. I could be lying to myself. I usually do. But 93 times in this set of lesson 68 through lesson 90. And so he's not, I mean, he, other places he uses the word condemnation. He uses the word judgment. And like with anything on the wrong-minded side of the fence, I mean, there's all kinds of words for that. Sin, guilt, fear. In this case, he's approaching it using the word grievance. And certainly that's true on the Holy Spirit side of the fence. I mean, he uses all kinds of words for that. Holy instant, holy relationship, forgiveness, miracle, atonement, healing, reason, you know, especially in chapters 21 and 22. Reason just kind of comes out of nowhere as a description for a right-minded experience. So, I mean, he's got different, he uses different words, just kind of keep it lively throughout the course. And so now in the upcoming workbook lessons, if you're working them from the beginning of the year, he's talking about grievances. But approaching the usual, the wrong-minded stuff, the sin, guilt, and fear story, the oh, woe is me. One of the thing about grievances that just hit me a few minutes ago is, and Lynn will probably take a look at lesson 77 in the second half of this morning's session. But 77 says, I am entitled to, it doesn't say I'm entitled to miracles. But, I mean, it does say that. It does say I'm entitled to miracles. What it doesn't say is I am entitled to grievances. And that's exactly what the ego believes, is that it is entitled. I can make my case. I can go to HR. I can tell HR, I've had things done to me that are unfair. Now, the course wants us to take our grievances, of course, to HS, not to HR, to the Holy Spirit, and then present our case. And then he's going to say four simple words that Ken used in describing the right mind, wrong mind, etc. He described on unconscious mind, a seminar he did on the ego and everything. he said the Holy Spirit's case is, and God thinks otherwise. And God thinks you have not been treated unfairly. And God thinks it's impossible for you to be treated unfairly. And God thinks otherwise in any case of I'm entitled to grievances that we bring before him. The Holy Spirit simply says, and God thinks otherwise. Like, nah, nah, nah. Not really nah, nah, nah. But it's just impossible that you could hold a grievance. Even though you're insisting you have every right, you're entitled to your grievances. So they're deep rooted. And there's a sense of not just unfairness, but injustice. It wasn't just I was treated unfairly. I was treated unjustly. There's a major mortal sin going on here. This is not a venial sin. This is big time mortal sin. And so if you're raised Catholic, and there's a big, And so he's really looking at how deep-rooted this resentment is. And certainly in terms of the chart, and Ken pointed this out once again on Unconscious Mind, he said the first and one and only deep-rooted grievance we had was against the Holy Spirit saying, and God thinks otherwise. I mean, don't tell me I didn't separate. And don't tell me you're not respecting my separation. You know, I'm taking this to the ego, the judge that's going to agree with me that I've been wronged, that, you know, I've been treated unfairly. God won't even recognize I'm here, for God's sake. I mean, how insulting is that? How unfair is that? I went to all this trouble to do separation, and now I'm being treated like I don't exist. I mean, to say this stuff out loud sounds, you know, silly. But I mean, this is internally, we look at the tiny mad idea from our ego point of view, and we take that grievance very seriously, that God won't recognize me and what I did to become autonomous, separate from him. So that's really the first one and only grievance. But rather than admit we're doing something that silly, we take that grievance and we project it on all these grievances in the world. So these grievances are basically two things. One is they're a distraction from what the real grievance is, but they're also a reflection of what the real grievance is. But we think these are the grievances. We think I am entitled to my grievances, that I can go to life's seeming life in the world's HR and present my case. So these grievances really run deep, and they reflect the one and only great grievance that we have against God for not treating us the way we want to be treated as a separate autonomous being. And that isn't conscious. I mean, nobody's walking around thinking, I'm holding it against God. In fact, if anything, we're running around chasing God like we don't have him. But what's underlying is that is seek and do not find. Because we're seeking God all the time, but we really don't want to find him because we got a grievance against him. He's not recognizing my separation. Don't admit any of that. So take that internal grievance and blame it on all this stuff in the world. Now, what these lessons really point out, and was a hot topic of conversation at David Delaplane's meeting yesterday on Friday in Lakewood. It was kind of a fun meeting. But at one point, David said something, and I just blurted out, I totally disagree with that. So it was the gist of it was, and now I'm going to defend my case. I'm going to defend my grievance. The gist of it was, David was saying, you ask the Holy Spirit for insight when you're trying to do something, you know, like, and he'll give you a nudge towards what the better choice is. And that in his lifetime, David said, he got those kind of nudges. And I said, nah. And the gist of what I was trying to point out was, Jesus, you know, we start with going to the Holy Spirit, asking him for specific help about specific situations. What should I do? But if God thinks otherwise, it's never about what I do. The Course is real clear in the early chapters that this is not a course about what to do. This is a course about perception. This is a course about how I see you and everybody involved in whatever that decision is and how I see myself. So what's really going on here is when I'm in ego mode, when I'm hanging on to separation and I don't want to admit it, when I'm hanging on to this grievance against God and I don't want to admit that's what's really going on, I have to project that out onto the world in order to maintain that inner choice to hang on to separation and to be mad at God because he didn't recognize me. And don't admit I'm doing something that's stupid. Don't admit I'm being that silly. So I go looking for trouble in the world and I find it. I find all kinds of things to be upset about. I find all kinds of things where I either see others being treated unfairly, pick your favorite political thing, or, you know, where I'm being treated unfairly. It's the Rodney Dangerfield thing. I get no respect. I'm not appreciated. You know, like I was thinking about the times where I've really gone off in my life, and it was because I got no respect. And it just seemed like it came out of nowhere. It didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of here. I mean, suddenly I was reacting to something monumentally, and I'm saying I was not recognized. I wasn't appreciated. I got no respect. I'm entitled to my grievance. I mean, talk about being right. You want to be right or happy? Well, hell yeah, I'm right. Hell yeah, I wasn't appreciated. And probably in time and space, there was a lack of appreciation going on. But that's always going on. People are always ignoring people. That's what people do. I remember, I was thinking about this morning. I worked in the post office. And, you know, men really don't pay attention to men at all. I mean, not in terms of their what they look like. So this guy, he had had a beard for in the post office for like 20 years. And then one day he came in and he shaved it off and nobody noticed. And I remember him freaking out that nobody even noticed that he'd shaved off his beard. Like there was this like autonomous self changing image thing, and he went crazy. I just remember I was thinking about this morning, this is how crazy I get when I feel like I'm not being noticed, I'm not being appreciated. And nobody noticed that this guy's, I mean, that's kind of a simple thing. That's not even like, you know, somebody punched him out or stole his money or whatever way he was being defiled, or but in this case it was just a simple thing of nobody even realized. Guys don't realize that I shaved off my beard. They didn't even notice. And then when he pointed it out, they go, oh, you know, like, oh, I didn't even notice. I mean, they even, it got worse. Like they pointed out how much they didn't notice. So, but we're doing that all the time. And we have to do that in order not to go back to the mind, not to realize we're hanging on to sin, not to realize we're hanging on to this grievance against God. And that's a pretty big thing to become aware of, to say the least, that, you know, like all these grievances, and there's certainly tons in the world, tons of grievances. So we start with those. I mean, that's the doorway back. It's the very grievance I'm hanging on to in the world. The Holy Spirit will show me that's not the reason I'm upset if I take it to him. And if I'm willing to hear something else, because my grievance is I see you as sinful. Somehow you have the guilt. You let me down. You didn't appreciate me. And my grievance against you is totally justified and legitimate. And so is that true? What if I'm not upset for the reason I think? That's the first step. So we take that very literal, specific grievance, that person we think we have an issue with, and we take that to the Holy Spirit, and we ask the Holy Spirit to see beyond, overlook, to have a different, not deny that we're reacting like crazy, but to realize what the, have a sense of what the real source of the grievance is, and that it has nothing to do with my brother because his innocence is still intact. And if I ask to see that, with the Holy Spirit's help, I will have that experience. And then I begin to kind of take it back in and realize it's about me. It's not about the other guy. And then certainly in that seeming sequential process, that's the time to really ask the Holy Spirit for help to see that my grievance is absolutely silly against God, that I didn't separate, God didn't go anywhere, God still loves me the way I am, and that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. So this grievance, this idea of looking at grievances includes all this. And it seems like a complicated process, except only because this is the big self-deception, that consciously, my grievance, I'm entitled to my grievance, it's justified, and I know who the bad guy is. But just underneath the surface, I'm saying my grievance against God is justified. God's the bad guy. He didn't treat me with respect. Well, worse, he didn't even know I was here. That's how insulting. I mean, it gets worse. From the ego point of view, it's really bad. I mean, we like it if God, we think God's mad. Like the whole Old Testament and New Testament, you know, God's a punisher. He's going to punish me for separation. That's the kind of God that the ego likes. And Jesus even points that out in these lessons, that we make God in an image and likeness of ourselves. Who was it? The philosopher who said, God made us in our image and likeness, and then we returned the favor. So that's the metaphysics. That's just even intellectually get a handle on that. And what's really going, hi, Sophia. even to get an idea intellectually of what's going on, and then look at how much I don't want to believe that. Begin to look at how much I'm hanging onto my grievances. So it's not so much when, like in David Delaplane's class yesterday, it's not so much looking at and asking the Holy Spirit for advice in terms of making a decision about what to do or what not to do next. I mean, that's okay. And, you know, he'll go along with it for the ride. I mean, Helen was always asking Jesus where to go to buy shoes. And, you know, he did. He told her. So it starts there. But it's really about, you know, who are the people involved in that process? Who's keeping me from getting a good pair of shoes? You know, who's overpricing the shoes so I can't buy them? I mean, all the faces involved that I'm having this grievance against in any given situation is what my purpose as an ego is. I have to have grievances. And the grievances block me, literally, from realizing you're the Son of God and I'm the Son of God. That's what the grievances are for. That's what I never admit that they're for. And that's exactly what the grievances do. So we start with our conscious grievances. They are the doorway back. On Lynn's Wheel of Misfortune, all those individual possible issues, dramas that we deal with, the problem with all them is not in an innate of themselves, like going to work every day or issues with our car. Those seemingly dramatic issues in life, they're not the problem from the Holy Spirit's point of view. The problem is I'm holding a grievance about those things when they go bad, when they let me down. And who's at fault? Who are the faces behind every situation I'm dealing with during the day that I, without even admitting it, believe are responsible for robbing me of my peace? So first we have to get in touch with how often we have grievances and how deep-rooted they are. I mean, that's what the workbook's really all about, is we bring to the surface how judgmental I am almost in every given second. I have to be judgmental every given second of the day if I'm in ego mode. I have to be in order to maintain my separate identity. And I have to not admit that's what I'm doing. Once I realize that purpose, it gets pretty silly. Especially if Jesus didn't go anywhere and I'm still connected with him and I'm still connected with you. What's the point of insisting that you're separate from me and I'm hanging on to this grievance to prove it? Grievances justify my separation from you. They certainly justify my separation from God. All that's going on and we don't want to admit it. It's always been going on. It's why we came here. It's why we made up a world to believe that we're actually in. So any questions or comments on that? Or
Tim, when you first were talking about the courtroom, I was thinking it's sort of like, you know, the people's court. Well, we're listening to ego's court rebroadcast 24/7. And we don't question that. It's kind of like, you know, this ongoing saga of our victimhood. And, you know, and we said we've got a lifetime subscription to it, but we you know, at some point recognize that it doesn't make us happy, and you know that grievance channel that have our minds TV locked onto isn't really working for us.
Yeah, and that You know, that's another huge word. I'm not a victim of the world I see. I'm not entitled to my grievance against the world I see because I believe I'm a victim. I mean, it's the victim script. Grievances prove I'm a victim. My nerve endings are proving I've been robbed of peace. We were talking about nerve endings earlier about their purpose is to prove I'm not the bad guy. I know somebody's hurting me. Something's hurting me. The virus is going to get me. Or somebody's going to get me. Somebody's always trying to get me. So it's that victim script and the grievances that are holding all that illusion together, and we think it's real. So as an opening meditation, I wanted to look at, let's see, I think lesson 90, it's on page 155. Lesson 90, page 155. And we'll just do the first number one, which is a repeat of lesson 79. So lesson 79, we went over that recently. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. And we looked at it in terms of the coronavirus. Let me recognize the real virus, the virus of the ego, our addiction to an autonomous self. That's the real virus. So let me recognize the real problem so it can be solved, because it's already solved. We couldn't separate even if we pretended to. So in here he's talking about the problem is a grievance. Let me recognize the real grievance. So let me recognize that I have grievances, first of all, in the world like crazy. And then let me go back to the real source of those grievances is I'm hanging on to this sense of self that can have a grievance. Part of the description of personhood is I can have a grievance. In fact, if we're really honest about it, that is the description of selfhood, lowercase self. Lowercase personhood is I am a thing that can grieve. I am a thing that can suffer. I am a thing that can prove I've been treated unjustly. I am entitled to grievances. I mean, you look at it that way, it's like, wow. That's
well, a pain in the ass. and therefore, I need my brother to be my enemy so I can keep my grievance. Mm-hmm. And until that little game is seen for what it is, there's no value to me in freeing my brothers. Why would I free my brothers if I need them to be my enemy so that I can keep my concept of myself as a helpless victim? It makes, you know, I'm not going to set him free.
Well, yeah, he's got a job to do. He's got to rob me of my peace, or at least I got to believe he is. He's got to be my enemy. Whether it's special love or special hate, it's obvious he's robbing me of my peace now. Special love is, I thought I trusted him, but he ripped me off down the road. So, I mean, that's what special does. It's just this impending doom. It's always, we're walking around waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so this problem is a grievance. And that's what he says, lesson 90, page 155, just number one. It relates back to lesson 79. Lynn, you want to read that? We'll get quiet for a minute.
Sure. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. Let me realize today that the problem is always some form of grievance that I would cherish. Let me also understand that the solution is always a miracle with which I let the grievance be replaced. Today, I would remember the simplicity of salvation by reinforcing the lesson that there is one problem and one solution. The problem is a grievance. The solution is a miracle. And I invite the solution to come to me through my forgiveness of the grievance and my welcome of the miracle that takes its place. Specific applications of this idea might be these forms. This presents a problem to me, which I would have resolved. The miracle behind this grievance will resolve it for me. The answer to this problem is the miracle that it conceals.
And we'll get quiet for a few moments. I'll bring this out. And gently come back. So another thing that happened in David's class yesterday was, and it brought up an interesting issue, was one of the ladies was thinking about going to Poland in the next few weeks. And this was a big deal because she was going to go with her sister, and she hasn't traveled anywhere with her sister in 30 years. So, you know, it was kind of a cool thing to do. And then, you know, the impending doom of the coronavirus, how much is it going to spread? How can I get on a plane if I might get it? And does Poland have cases, et cetera, et cetera. So she was like, what do I do? And so she was asking, what do I do? and then, you know, from a normal kind of new agey perspective, you know, most of us would say, and some of us in the meeting said, well, ask God what you should do, whether you should go or not. And that's when I disagreed. And I said, I thought Jesus is asking us not for help to decide whether to go to Poland, whatever your Poland is or not. He's asking us to help us see everybody in that situation the way he does, meaning the lady, her sister, the virus itself, the Polish people, the airlines, whoever's involved in that situation. As I go through that situation, am I willing to see you and me the way Jesus does? Innocent. Because otherwise, if I don't, I'm hell-bent on finding a grievance, and I will find one. And even if I don't find one, I'll make one up. So the purpose is always that simple. I mean, it's not about what do I do or what do I don't do. It's about, am I looking for grievances, or am I looking for with the Holy Spirit to find holiness? Whatever it is I'm doing, even if I'm brushing my teeth. Because if I'm not doing one, I have to be doing the other. This is an either or situation. There's no in between. If I'm in ego mode, whatever it is I'm doing, I will find somebody or something to hold a grievance about. I will nurse that grievance, and I won't even admit that's what I'm doing. For the most part, I mean, it'll become obvious sometimes, but especially when I take it at HR. but I mean, most of the time, we're not even admitting how often we're in ego mode looking for a grievance. And we have to do that in order to maintain our autonomy. So what he's saying here is, that's the problem. The grievance is the problem. It's not what to do or what not to do. Ken used to say, you know, my job wasn't to write the book or give a presentation. My job was to deal with all the people that would come in and interrupt me while I was trying to write the book. You know, how do I see them as innocent? How do I see myself as innocent? We do what we do 99% of the time. That doesn't change. We help ourselves, we help each other, we help our loved ones, we go to work, you know, we do what we do, but who am I doing it with? And more importantly, what am I doing it for? Am I looking for a grievance in this situation and not admitting that's what's going on? Or am I just looking to see you as we go through our motions, whether we're having dinner together or I'm driving down the highway with you? Am I looking for holiness instead of sinfulness, instead of guilt? It's that simple, but it's that, God, the complications we put on, you know, we make up these giant stories. Should I go to Poland or not? I might get the virus. Somebody said, some guy asked God whether he should go to another country or not. And the answer the guy got was something like, no, if you do that, you won't feel peaceful. Well, not from the course's point of view. If you go to Poland or you don't go to Poland, you're not going to feel peaceful if you're in ego mode when you do it. You've got to find a grievance. Whether you go or don't go, if you stay home, you're still going to find a grievance. You didn't go to Poland. You made Poland an issue. If holiness is already a done deal, there are no issues. If her sister is already the Son of God and she's already the Son of God, then it doesn't matter whether they go to Poland or not. They're still already joined. And me making issue about if everything is just insisting we're not already joined, we're not the Son of God. All that's going on, and I don't want to admit it. And now I'm holding on to this grievance because I can't go to Poland with my sister who hasn't gone anywhere in 30 years. I mean, that was a huge dramatic thing, and that's just one thing that we made up to make an issue that wasn't the real issue. The issue was always and is always either I'm looking for a grievance or I'm not. And not to beat myself up when I'm looking for a grievance or I have one, but to take that very grievance and use that as the doorway back. Yes, I am holding a grievance. Yes, admit. It's serious. Yes, admit. I think this is important whether I go to Poland or not. And then take it to Jesus. Take it to the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus for help, not what to do, but how to see everybody involved in that situation. And then once I do that, the miracle is I'll go, I won't go, I'll be okay either way. My sister will go or won't go, and she's okay either way. I'll know that's the fact. I'll know that's what's really going on. Thoughts, questions, comments? How you doing, Sophia? Hold on, I'll try to unmute you. There you go. Well,
I was saying I thought I came into something really heavy. I love this idea because I had a grievance this morning, I think, and I didn't know it. And my grievance was, I got too many things to do. And so I asked the Holy Spirit if I should do this other thing, which I had planned. And instead, the ego usurped and said, well, no, you're just too tired. You got too much to do and all this. And so now I see what the deal is. I didn't even think that it was a problem. And I'm one of those who ask the Holy Spirit every little darn thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, so this is a much bigger and better frame. And I thank you for clarifying it for me.
Ken used to joke about the old days, how a lot of people would go into a restaurant with their pendulum and they would swing it around the menu to see what the Holy Spirit was telling. I mean, it sounds silly now, but I mean, it's what we do all the time about everything. What should I do? Is this going to make me feel better or not?
Sadly, I did that too.
yeah, right. I probably did it, but I repressed it. I don't remember doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a recovering new ager. Okay.
That's good.
Catholic, ager. I mean, I got the whole thing. You know.
Yeah. I think we're all recovering dream repair technicians. That's my jargon. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good.
Goodness.
So Dave doesn't have any grievances. He went for a nice walk. Oh, he's got a grievance because God burned the top of his head when he was taking a walk.
Well, I enjoyed myself while my head was getting burned. So God and I are even. So it's cool.
It balanced out.
It balanced out. Yeah.
That's another one. I'm entitled to my nice walk in the sun, even if I have to pay for it. That's good. Lesson 68 and 78 are really interesting in terms of all kinds of things. Let's look at 78 first, just the first two paragraphs. And where is it?
139.
So in both 68 and 78, the first half of each of these lessons talks about grievances, really lays it down. The choice is always a choice of purpose. Am I looking for a grievance or am I not? And he really lays that down in both lessons. And then he takes the next half of the lesson and he really gets into the specific process of admitting we have a grievance, how we have grievance. If I'm in ego mode, I have grievances against everybody, how deep those grievances run. And if I can let go of my grievance with you from the Holy Spirit's point of view, I'll let go of it with everybody. So in 68, he talks about everybody, people that you even think you love and you don't have a grievance against. If you're in ego mode, if you're really honest about it, you'll begin to see there's something you're hanging on to that you do not like about that person, that situation, that thing. In lesson 78, he does the same thing in the second half of the lesson. So that's always the process. We take the grievance. It's the doorway back. Don't deny you have it. Acknowledge you have it. Acknowledge how many you have. Acknowledge how nauseating all those grievances are, even if you're right. And then, am I willing to do something about it? Am I willing to overlook, not ignore, and somehow see something else, but rise above with the Holy Spirit and look down on the situation and realize it's not about behavior. It's not about what I do. It's just about how I'm seeing you. And is the purpose for my seeing you to see you as sinful, or is the purpose for my seeing you to see you as sinless? So just these two paragraphs. Lesson 78, perhaps it's not yet quite clear to you that each decision that you make is one between a grievance and a miracle. Period. That's the decision. It's got nothing to do with whether you go to Poland or not. It's got nothing to do with whether you hang out with your sister. It only has to do with how you see yourself and see your sister. Are you holding a grievance against her and against yourself, or are you willing to look beyond that? That's always the decision. That's the only decision. That's the only thing that's keeping us locked in fear. We're not afraid of the coronavirus. We're afraid of letting the Holy Spirit in and show us we don't have to be afraid of the coronavirus. We're in an invulnerable Son of God no matter what we think we're doing. My sister is an invulnerable daughter of God no matter what she's worried about. I mean, we can have that experience, and he guarantees that. And the reason we don't ask for help is because we'll get it. We don't want the help. We want to hang on to our grievance. I'm right, and I want to be happy too. I don't just want to be wrong and happy. I want to be right and happy. Well, sorry. It don't work that way. So, each grievance stands like a dark shield of hate before the miracle it would conceal. The miracle is always simply, I see my sister's holiness. I see my own holiness. That's the miracle. It's not whether, the miracle isn't God's going to tell me to go to Poland or not go to Poland. That's not a miracle. God speaks to me all through the day. As a lesson, God speaks to me all through the day. And the only thing he ever says is, I think otherwise. Poland's not an issue. Your holiness is already intact. You don't have to be afraid. If you are afraid, you're just making something up. If you are holding a grievance, you're just making something up. If we're feeling anything that's not peace, it's always because just underneath the surface, just a little bit, I'm holding a grievance against somebody or something. And that's keeping me locked in fear. That's keeping me locked in the illusion and it's keeping me locked in admitting that's what's really going on, that I'm choosing this. Go ahead, Judy.
I was trying this morning to work out a bargain with God. I was thinking, If I start in a little grievance, will that help? Can I start with a mild one before I get to the really big ones? You know, the really big one that I know is lurking like a an iceberg below the surface. What a laugh. They're all... No,
they're all the same.
There's no hierarchy in illusions. You know?
Years ago, there was a thing that went around the office that I worked in before the internet and on Xerox copies everywhere. It was all these sub-laws of Murphy's Laws. And one of the funnier ones was, inside every little problem is a much larger problem struggling to get out. but my favorite was called Garth's Distinction. And it says, there are two types of people in the world. Those who divide people into two types and those who don't.
Very nice.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I've done enough. I'll let Lynn take over. On that note.
just like that.
All right. Come on in, Holy Spirit.
Wow. You surprised me. Let me see here. Well, I'm going to look with you on lesson 77 for a little bit. And then we're going to complete the process that ended lesson 78, which is actually walking through a relationship with someone and how you see them and how you see them in terms of looking with the ego, which is finding a grievance, and how you would look at them with the help of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Jesus is trying to convince us, I believe, that miracles are natural. He says miracles are natural. Seeing the light in my brother is natural. Wanting to free him is natural. You know, having it be to my advantage, actually, to free everybody is to my advantage. That is the only way I can remember who I really am. The sonship is one. There is only one Son of God. And so in a sense, we're putting back the pieces of the one Son of God that our belief in separation is insisting that we stay separate. That's what bodies are for. Bodies are for us to have a place to put our grievance. First of all, as Tim was saying, our grievance against God. He wouldn't notice us. He wouldn't give us. He could not give us our specialness, because it's not in his mind. He can't see it. He couldn't give it to us. God is one. God is love, and the Son of God is one, and he is one with his Father. And so it is natural to see this way. It is natural, as Tim is saying, to look from our holiness, our joy, our freedom, our peace upon the joy and freedom of our brother, because we are the same. That takes no effort at all to do that. For us to maintain this idea of grievance and separation and conflict is a strain. It's a constant strain to do that. As he says in talking about the state of grace, he says, when you're not in the state of grace, everything you do is a strain. Well, what we're doing all day long, if we're not in that state of grace, or if we're not right-minded, or if we're not walking through our day with the Holy Spirit, then the only alternative is, as Tim was showing us, is excuse me, is to keep searching for grievances. And of course we will find it, because if we want the sonship to remain separate fragments, fragmented, if that's what we want, then we must continue to have and keep the grievances. But he's telling us here, miracles are natural. And if we're not experiencing miracles, guess what? He says, these are his words, something's gone wrong. Well, guess who's gone wrong? You know, the decision maker has chosen the ego as its companion, the advisor, the appointed friend, and it's going to go through the day with the ego. So in a sense, when I am not experiencing miracles and I'm experiencing the alternative, that's really a signal to remember what he's going to tell us now. And that is lesson 77. And he's so emphatic in this. He really wants us to get that miracles are our entitlement. It's not some difficult thing. And these are some of the words he's going to use. Entitled, inherent. Miracles are inherent in what you truly are. Implicit, insured, guaranteed by law, your right, promised, belongs to you, assured, the kingdom is yours. And that's where we abide in truth. You all know the diagram that I made of the circle representing God, ever extending what God is, which is unity and joy and peace and love, and that we are the Son of God within the mind of God. So the smaller circle, but not necessarily smaller, is the Christ mind within the mind of God, and we can't get out of it. There's no way we can be outside of that relationship. And this lesson is actually he says, I want you to make sure that you will not be content with less. We want the healing. We want that experience that the light in my brother shines back at me because I want him to have it instead of a grievance. I want to bless him. I want to give him. And it's not me, a person or a body, because bodies don't give blessing. Bodies look for enemies. Bodies, that, you know, what is temptation? Jesus says that the one temptation is to believe that you're a body. A better way to do that than, you know, keep preserving grievances. My brother and I are not one. My brother and I are separate. So this idea of wanting to seek and find the miracle instead of the evidence that I deserve to have a grievance. So he says, make sure that you will not settle for less than full release from the world you made. The world we made, of course, is the world of separation, the world of grievances, the world of enemies, and the world of kill or be killed. You know, the laws of chaos provide in the world we have made. And he says, you deserve, are guaranteed the full release from that. It's rightfully yours. and it's never taken from one and given to another. In other words, it's not, somebody doesn't win at the expense of someone else. The miracle blesses the entire sonship. So we have to ask ourselves, why wouldn't I want that? You know, unless I'm really convinced that my littleness, my personhood, and all my plans for me are going to give me more joy and peace and freedom than what Jesus is offering us. So when I read this, I felt, you know, how clear he was trying to make it for us that we can't really see anything other than miracles. But as long as we insist on the grievance blocks the miracle that is already there. The miracle is already there. It's all already happened. And there's no waiting for it. Like, oh, hope God gets around to it next week or, you know, next year. The miracle is always immediate if we ask for it. And that's what he's saying here. And we go off on these tangential issues, like, do I fly to Poland or not? And as long as we can keep those tangential issues going, which we do, we won't see that the real problem is where Tim pointed out to us. The problem is, you know, the problem is within us in a decision that we're making, and over and over and over and over we say it, it's a decision for the wrong teacher. The ego as our teacher will always be proving that our grievances are indeed justified. You know, I know what the other guy did, and you know, I deserve to be angry and upset.
Bruce said something.
Oh, what you were just sharing, Lynn, reminded me of that. The idea that, you know, when I remember it, you know, Jesus on every page of his course is basically asking us that sort of rhetorical question, you know, about our ego strategy of holding grievances and just sort of calmly, dispassionately waiting for our reply to, so how's that working out for you? That yeah. Strategy of grievances.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and we, you know, I think why he's saying here, do not be content with less than this. Do not stop short. Do not fail to raise your eyes. To lift your eyes and look beyond the world of bodies, which is where the disease festers in the world of bodies. But, you know, that is not where our mind resides. Our body, yes, appears to be in the world, but the mind is not in the body. So our mind is residing beyond. So we have to lift our eyes, you know, stop looking out there, you know, and scanning the field for a problem or an enemy. You stay centered within and recognize there's another choice here. Miracles are another choice. So I think the real question, and he says it somewhere here, you're asking a real question at last. Paragraph 5, I'm on page 70, lesson 77, page 137. One of the comments also that I wanted to express is in paragraph 4. Remind yourself that miracles are never taken from one and given to another. And in asking for your rights to the miracle, you are upholding these rights for everyone. So again, the idea of the sonship, we're healing false ideas, which is the idea of separation in the mind, and the miracle reflects our choice for a different teacher by showing us the holiness of our brother. So it's always about giving. It's always about extending in order to follow the laws of God, which is God only gives. Well, his son only gives also. They are like one another. After a brief introductory phase, wait patiently for the assurance that your request is granted. You have asked for the salvation of the world and your own. You have requested that you be given the means by which this is accomplished. So the world is being healed where? In my mind. It's a decision that I'm making, that I want healing. I want healing for myself. And the only way I can have that healing for myself is to give it to my brother. And voila, the miracle shows that the Holy Spirit, his job is to show me that there is an unseen, unheard world that is operative beyond the world that we appear to be living in and trying to navigate and trying to figure out. There is another world. And so the miracle witnesses to that, my choice for the Holy Spirit. You have requested you be given the means by which this is accomplished, the salvation of the world. You cannot fail. Be assured in this. You are but asking that the will of God be done. So here we go. God's will and my will, not the will of a personal little me, but the will of the sonship, the will of the Son of God and the Father are one in the same. You know, and he says, you know, this is going to get us back to that experience. Yes, maybe we don't have the one will down, the non-dual part of this equation. But he does say, you know, here is where I need you to learn this. This is the only place you can learn this. You may see two, but you will learn that they are one. And by learning that, the idea of two is being undone. The idea that there can be conflict between my will and God's will, that there can be conflict at all. There is only one will, and God's will for us is, as long as we're here and need to be corrected, is miracles. So, hey, I'm happy about that. How about you? And are you convinced that you're entitled to have this? Or is there like, not so fast. No, I don't know. I think I'd rather hang out in the grievance for a while. I like being pissed off, you know?
I wanted to check in with Kishore to see if he had any morning grievances, because morning grievances tend to be different than afternoon grievances. Are you fine this morning? Uh-oh.
Yay. All right. So now we're going to move into the actual process of this. And let's see here. Let miracles replace all grievances. And this is going to be lesson 78. And it's going to start with paragraph 4. And, you know, I invite all of us as we walk through this process together to give up any idea of how you think this experience of the one Son of God is going to show up for you. You know, what that's going to look like. You know, he's going to ask us here to let go of all images, which means let go of bodies. You know, all the images you hold about your brother, and ultimately all the images you hold about yourself. Because the Son of God is not an image. It's not a body. So it's that willingness to come with empty hands to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, I don't know how to see my brother, but I'm entitled to the miracle. I'm entitled to learn from a different teacher. I'm entitled to get his lessons. And but now I need to learn to do nothing, to make no effort in my mind, to not strive. We're so used to striving and you know, making up images of ourselves and our brothers that he's just asking us here, you know, drop all the images. Lift your eyes from the form, from the world, and for a moment, just be empty and walk with me, in a sense. Walk with Jesus. Walk with the Holy Spirit. And let go of all images of what that means. So here we go. And you can close your eyes. That would probably be good because this is an internal process. Today, now, here, now, we will attempt to see God's Son. We will not let ourselves be blind to him. We will not look on our grievances. So is the seeing of the world reversed. As we look out toward truth and away from fear. Select one person that you have used as a target for your grievances. And lay the grievances aside and look at him. Someone perhaps you fear and even hate. Someone you think you love who angered you. Someone you call a friend, but whom you see as difficult at times, hard to please, demanding, irritating, or untrue to the ideal he should accept as his according to the role you set for him. You know the one to choose. His name has already crossed your mind. He will be the one of whom we ask God's Son be shown to us. Through seeing him behind the grievances that you have held against him, you will learn what lay hidden while you saw him not. And that one is there in everyone. And everything. He who was enemy is more than friend when you free him to take the holy role that the Holy Spirit has given him to play with you. let him be a savior unto you. Such is his role in your father's plan. So now continue to see this brother, and you will attempt to hold him in your mind. First, as you now consider him, you will review his faults, the difficulties you've had with him, the pain he's caused you, his neglect, all the little and the larger hurts he gave. You will regard his body with its flaws, his better points as well, and you will think of his mistakes and even of his sins. Then ask of him who knows this Son of God in his reality and truth, the Holy Spirit, that we may look on him a different way and see our Savior shining in the light of true forgiveness given unto us. We ask the Holy Spirit in the holy name of God and of his Son, let me behold my Savior in this one that you have appointed as the one for me to ask to lead me to the holy light in which he stands, that I may join with him. As you think of him who grieved you, let your mind be shown the light in him beyond your grievances. What you've asked for cannot be denied. Your Savior has been waiting long for this. He would be free and make his freedom yours. The Holy Spirit leans from him to you, seeing no separation in God's Son. And what you see through him will free you both. Be very quiet now and look upon your shining Savior. No dark grievances obscure the sight of him. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to express through him the role that God gave him that you might be saved. God thanks you for these quiet times today, in which you laid all your images aside and you looked upon the miracle of love that the Holy Spirit showed you in their place. The world and heaven join in thanking you, for not one thought of God, but must rejoice as you are saved, and all the world is saved with you. We will remember this throughout this day and take the role assigned to us as part of God's plan for salvation and not our own. Temptation falls away when we allow each one we meet to save us and refuse to hide his light behind our grievances. To everyone you meet and to the ones you think of or remember from the past, allow the role of Savior to be given, that you may share it with him. For you both, and all the sightless ones as well, we pray. Let miracles replace all grievances.
The Abba song was pounding through my head. Knowing me, knowing you, knowing your holiness, knowing my holiness, there is nothing we can't do. Knowing me, knowing you.
You know, why wouldn't we just be smiling all day long, you know? I mean, we would be finding joy everywhere. Being in the kingdom is simply being in joy. You know, the kingdom is right here. It's not somewhere else. Heaven's not somewhere else. As Jesus says, heaven is here and heaven is now. It's a decision that we make. And our way back to remembering it is through how we see our brother over and over and over. Let him save us. Let our brother save us by giving him that's what he is in the dream for. His function and my function. Hallelujah. Yeah. Any thoughts, anything anyone wants to share? That is on page 139 in your workbook. I think it's a beautiful place to go when we forget. Are we good? Are we time? Are there other things we need to...
Sophia has something.
Sophia.
Well, first of all, I don't think I have ever experienced a lesson like that. And I want to thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think what happens with me sometimes with the Course, especially these past weeks, I have... you know, I find myself weeping, not in sadness, but in just deep gratitude. And the understanding of how loving and gracious God is, I don't think I have ever gotten it that way in any other, you know, thing I've studied. But it's just the forgiveness and the mercy for all of my misperceptions and this dream and how gently he comes in to help wake us up. I can't express the gratitude. It's overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, that I always think gratitude's the evidence that we're learning from the right teacher.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Carol, did you have something you wanted to speak of?
No, not really.
I'm sorry.
I was moved. I was definitely moved by the exercise, found myself some resistance.
Mm-hmm. So that's how he wants us to go through our day, you know, looking for that instead of grievances, you know, looking for the miracle and knowing it's ours. It's already done. It's there. We just have to be willing to lift the veil so we can see it.
I want to check in with Rebecca. How you doing?
I'm okay. I didn't really want to speak about my experience. But just received a profound healing around my father. And
All right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Sit with that. Sit with that and enjoy it. A gift. It's a gift to you, right? And to all. I can feel it. I mean, we all can feel it. Yeah. All right, everybody. I think our next Saturday class is going to be a couple of weeks from now on the 21st, Saturday morning, 9:30. With Whitney and I, and what it means to be truly helpful. Learning to be truly helpful here. All right, thanks. Yeah. Kishore, good to see Kishore. There everybody goes.